Our Father in heaven, we thank you for calling us together. We thank you for filling our hearts with joy and allowing us to sing your praises. Thank you, Father, for letting us celebrate the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, and the fact that you have made us your new creation. Father, as we study your word together today, help us better understand. Help strengthen our resolve. Increase our faith. Father, our desire is to be your faithful children. Our desire is to enjoy the love that you have poured out on us and to reflect the glory that is yours. So I pray in our study today, Father, you will open our eyes to your word, that we will see Jesus clearly and be encouraged to live our lives for you. Help us in this and in all things. We pray through Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 Genesis chapter 1, the fourth in the beginning God. Yeah, the fourth word in the Bible is our next name for God. And we've been going through and we've seen a lot of these. We're going to see some more, but the ones that we see after this are more just adjectives for God. I know the different names that we've been looking at show a part of God's character. Today's is a little bit different, and I saved it for last because it's kind of the biggest one. It's the biggest one. This word is Elohim. E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim. In the beginning, God. God. Now, it's an interesting word because this word Elohim is used in the Old Testament like 2,600 times. Okay? This is a masculine plural word. And it is used in connotation with God, gods, angels, messengers, judges, spiritual beings. Okay? So this word itself is used a lot. All right? So the other words that we looked at, Yahweh, even last week, Yahweh Hasinu, the Lord our Maker. Elohim is more generic, and so you have to really garner from its meaning more of the surrounding text. So you really have to see what is it saying about God from the verses that are going on around it, if that makes sense. So this is more of a generic term that's not just, you wouldn't just say, in the beginning, God starts out like that. In the beginning, Elohim. But this word is used in its context, and we're going to see the things that it uses to describe God. We're going to see Creator, King, Judge, Lord, Savior. And so when they're put together, Yahweh, Elohim, Lord God, Lord God. And another one that we're going to see, and this one's a little bit different in the Hebrew, you'll also see some Eloheinu, Eloheinu, that the English spelling E-L-O-H-E-E-N-U. That's the transliteration. That's not exactly. Eloheinu. Now, the difference is when you see Yahweh Elohim, it is Lord God. When you see Yahweh Eloheinu, Lord our God. But as we'll see in the text today, We'll see where this plays out. All right, so in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, Elohim creating the world. Elohim creates. In the beginning, God created. We get a sense of nothing, and then God is there, and God creates. God creates. All right. Turn over real quick to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a big one. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have the most important command. Scotty read for us in Mark, and we'll take a look at Jesus reiterating this point. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 4, Deuteronomy 6, 4, this is called the Shema. The Shema. The reason why it was called that is because that verse 4 here, the word for here in Hebrew, sounds like Shema. And so this became a very famous set of scripture in the Hebrew Bible, and very, very important to the Jewish religion and to God's people. And it's going to help us hopefully get a picture of Elohim. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 1, you'll see Lord your God kind of jumps out. And then in verse 2, Lord your God kind of jumps out. In verse 3, Lord the God. And then finally, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. So just boom, 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 boom. And in the Hebrew, they're all from Elohim, but they are all just a little bit different. They're all just a little bit different. So this command that Israel is given in Deuteronomy chapter 6 reveals about God, and we'll go back to verse 1. It says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. And then here it is, the Shema, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and on your gates. The Lord is our God. The Lord is our God. And this command, sounding very generic, and again, even when Jesus is confronted with this same idea, but the command itself being generic in this context also shows that it is all-encompassing. This Elohim, the Lord our God, this spiritual being who is above everything, who is singular, who created everything, he commands us to love him with all that we have. He commands that we give him ourselves because he created us. We're his. We're His. We belong to Him. We are made in His image. We are made for His glory. We are made for His good pleasure. He made us. And so we see in this command the totality of submission and obedience and reciprocation that is the proper response to this God. This God who created, this God who spoke everything into existence, this God who gives us His law and who gives us His word to teach us and to bless us and to show us how to live a good life. This God deserves all that we can muster, all that we can give back, all that we can provide. And so Israel is encouraged in these words that this is the command, the Lord our God. Because again, when you think about at the time when these words are given, when you think about the Pentateuch and Moses' writings, Israel's surrounded by false gods. I mean, they're surrounded by pagan cultures in which everybody had their own god and there were gods for everything. You wanted that rain that came this week? Well, make an offering to the prayer god. You wanted good crops? Make an offering to the crop god. You wanted to live long and prosper? You go to a Star Trek convention. I mean, whatever it is. Yeah, I know. Yeah, there we go. Whatever your god is. Right? They're just surrounded, and there was just a little God for everything. And so here, Israel is different because they have been called out of the nations, and specifically, and here, they've been called out of Egypt, where they have been property for 400 years, and God calls them out, and He says, this is it. I made you. I am the God. I am Yahweh Elohim, or in this one, the Lord our God, Yahweh Eloheinu. I am the God who made you. And the proper response to your Creator is that you give me everything. You owe me your life. You owe me your life. And so in Mark chapter 12, as Scotty read for us, Mark chapter 12, Jesus is confronted with a scribe, and if you think of a scribe, this is a religious bookworm. They're just going through it all day. What does it say? What does that mean? What is that? What is that? And so that was their job. And he comes up, and he hears them talking with each other, and he says, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" So what's most important? Now, this happened a lot, and again, Jesus was a rabbi. He is a teacher. He's an itinerant teacher. So he is walking around. People are following him. He's letting his disciples know. But as a rabbi, everybody wanted to know, when you were a rabbi on the scene, everybody wanted to know, what's important to you? What's your theology? Like today, I guess the closest we would get is, all right, what are your views on baptism? And you hear people's different views on baptism, we go, okay, I know you. I got you. I know where you're coming from. And so we have those different hot issue buttons, and we can say, how do you interpret Revelation? Right? Okay. All right. You a millennial, a premillennial, all that. We've got all these labels. And so that's what this scribe is doing. He is asking Jesus, all right, what is it? Where do you stand? What's the most important thing? And Jesus recites for him and shares with him the Shema from Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, this is it. You want to know what's most important? It's this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And then Jesus says, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is nothing more important than these. So to understand and to recognize that God, Elohim, the God, the one true God, There is an understanding that there are many gods, you know, little g. There are many gods. There are many spiritual beings. There are many rulers. There are many kings. There are many judges. There are many angels. There are many things, but there is one God. And Jesus says the most important thing is to understand and realize that singular God, that one God, has done everything for us. And what he calls us to do is to love him with everything that we have. So, church, our response to God, it comes out of thanksgiving. It comes from a place of joy. We sang that amazing song today, "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." We are not strengthened in our spiritual lives by the fear of the Lord. We are strengthened by the joy of the Lord. He fills our hearts and he has filled our lives and has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He has given us every good thing. He has granted us life. And that life is promised to last forever. That is the source of our strength, the joy of the Lord. And so Jesus says to love God with all that you have. That's the most important thing, to recognize that you are created. If he made you, he created you. There was nothing, and then there was. And he spoke that. He did it. No one else. And so love him with all you have. And then Jesus says, hey, and there's a second one, you know, pretty close, you know, 1A, 1B. There's a pretty close next to it. And what does he tell him to do? What does he say is important? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Now, church, you and I, we see the enemy fighting and battling against us all the time. Right? Number one, the enemy fights that we will not recognize God, that we'll just get wrapped up in our own stuff, right? That our heart will be divided, that we'll just be filled with so many other things. And then the enemy, our true enemy, convinces us that other people are our enemy. Oh, well, I have a difference of opinion with them. I must not get along with them. Oh, they did something I don't like. They are my enemy. Nope. Nope. How you and I define enemy is not how God defines enemy. Okay? So Jesus says, once we figure out that our entire beings belong to God, what we do with other people, our neighbors, is that we love them just like we love ourselves. Whew. Just like we love ourselves. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe says, hey, yep, it's a good answer. That's, you know what? There is one God. There is one God. And to love him with all that we have, that's the most important thing to do. And Jesus lets him know, this is God's kingdom. You're right there. You're so close. All right, let's go back to the Old Testament because we're going to get back into this Elohim in the Hebrew. Let's go back to Psalm 99. We're going to see a couple of examples of how this Elohim is used and figure out from the context about our God. Psalm 99, we're going to read 1 through 5. The name comes in verse 5, but we're going to build up to it. Psalm 99, 1. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Exalt the Lord our God. Lord our God. Now this is Yahweh Eloheinu. When you see that hour in between Lord and God, that's Eloheinu. Eloheinu. Exalt the Lord our God. And he says, here's why God deserves to be exalted in our hearts and in our lives. And look, the first part of the psalm is about location. He mentions two places, cherubim and Zion. Anybody, what was a cherubim? What was a cherubim? Right, right. We know the cherubim, they had those wings that were coming together. Over the ark, right? This was the presence of God, right? The cherubim, they represented the presence of God on the top of the ark. And he goes, that's where God is. God is highly exalted. He is, when you think of the Holy of Holies, the most holy place you can imagine in all of creation, that's where God is. That's where God is. That is the God that we serve. That is the God that we love with all of our being. And so he is on the cherubim. And then he is in Zion, his holy city. So when you think of a place that is holy, that is set apart, that is revered, that is more special than anything, that's where God is. You know, we sing the song and we read the scripture, the Lord is in his holy temple. God is residing in his place of holiness, and the proper response is that all of creation, let all the earth be silent before him. That is Elohim. Yahweh Elohim. That is our God. Our God is holy. Our God is exalted and above everything. Because how am I going to follow his word to love him with all that I have if I don't understand where he is and who he is? Then the second verses 3 and 4 talk about his nature. So not only is he holy and set apart, but look what he does. Look what he does to deserve such reverence. In verse 4, he loves justice. He's established equity. He has executed justice and righteousness. You know, so often we fall into the trap of saying, well, that's not fair, right? We love fair, don't we? We love fair when we are being oppressed. We don't like fair when we're winning, do we? Uh-uh. No, when we're disadvantaged, we're screaming fair, right? Because we want to be brought up to somebody else's level. When we're at the top of the heap, when we're up here, we don't want fair, because fair would mean that we would have to actually be brought low, right? He says, but this God, Elohim, he executes justice. He executes equity. He knows what fair is, and he brings that. He rules in the correct way. And so our response is to exalt and worship our God who is above everything. He has the high place, and he executes good things. He executes good things. Let's turn over a few to Psalm 105. Psalm 105, this is another psalm where we see, verse 7, Yahweh Eloheinu, the Lord our God, the Lord our God. And this psalm, we're going to take a look at verses 1 through 11. The first 6 verses give us an idea, and then we get the name in verse 7. And then 8 through 11, we're going to see him talk about the covenant. And so again, another use, we're trying to understand Yahweh Elohim, Lord God, or in this case, the Lord our God. And as we read the psalm, as we see in the context of the song, that this is what this God is all about. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he has uttered, O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in, are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you, I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. All right. So, here the psalmist lets us know as we see Yahweh Elohim, and it says Lord our God, so it's actually Yahweh Eloheinu, Lord our God, this God deserves praise. This God deserves praise. And so he starts in verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. The God that we serve, the same God that has revealed himself to Israel, he says, our response is to give praise to him for all of his wonderful deeds. For all of his wonderful, every good thing that he has done, he deserves praise. Every good deed that he has done, verse 2, sing to him, sing praises, tell of his wondrous works. Glory in his name. I just want you to think about how you talk about God. How you talk about God. Because in this psalm, we just get this amazing picture. We're giving thanks to the Lord. It just starts right there. I'm thanking God. For what? For everything. He created everything. I'm giving him thanks for everything. Well, what else am I doing? Well, I'm calling upon his name. Well, what does that mean? Lord, I need your help. Right? How often are our mouths filled with gripes and complaints rather than calling upon the name of the Lord? Something doesn't go right. Oh, that's awful. Or something's too difficult. Oh, I can't do this. This is too much for me. Instead, our mouths are supposed to be calling upon the Lord's name. Lord, please help me in this. Lord, you are good. Please provide for me in this. Lord, I need you to guide my steps in this direction. That's what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Help me, deliver me, save me. So we sing his praise and we tell everybody, do you know how good God is? Do you know how good God is and all the wonderful things that he has done for us? That he's done for me specifically and that he's done for all of us. And you know, yeah, well, not me. My life's just a mess. My life's in trouble. Okay, great. Then call out to God. What do you mean call out to God? Call out to God. He is good. And if you're going through difficulties, then you use your voice to call upon his name. Call upon his name. And then to sing in verse 2, to sing praises to him and tell of all his wondrous works. Tell of all of his wondrous works. You know, sometimes we get caught in the trap of being resentful when other people are blessed, don't we? Someone has got it good, or someone is just doing well, and we're just like, huh, well, must be nice. Somebody else is able to do something. Or, you know, you work hard, and someone says, hey, you want to see pictures of my vacation? Hey, I want to see pictures of your vacation. Was I there? No, I don't want to see pictures of your vacation. Hey, let's go for a ride, man. I got a new truck. Well, this truck smells newer than my truck. Must be nice to have a new truck. Can you believe that? They don't need that much truck. Yeah, we use our mouths for griping and complaining, right? Instead of saying, hey, look what God has blessed us with. Look what God has provided. Glory to his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. When we are seeking the Lord, our heart rejoices. Our heart rejoices. I mean, not just comparing ourselves to each other, but just think about our reaction to everything that's going on around us in the world. Right? Everything we hear about in the world, our reaction is fear or negative. Jesus looked out at the world, and what was his response? Man, it is ripe and ready. We look at it and go, ah, it's death and scary. And Jesus looked at those, including all of those who would kill him, bring his life to an end. And he goes, man, there is a lots of harvest out there. There's not many people that will recognize it. Workers are few. There's not that many that are going to take up their cross and get out there and do what I call them to do. But there's plenty of work to be done. There's plenty to get out there and pick. Right? And again, it is recognizing who God is and what God has done, and keeping our mouth and our words praising his name. And then when we run into those troubles, look at verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. I got to find God. I got to find God. Are you looking for God? Are you looking for God every day and in every situation continually? Are you seeking his presence? Now, too often we spend our energy seeking away from him. I got to get away from God. Oh, Michael is just, oh. What time does this thing end? Now, too often we're seeking to get away from him. And this psalm says, no, when you understand who God is, when you understand who he is, you seek his presence continually. All day, every day, our entire lives, all of our energy. Where is God going to be? Because I want to be there. That's where I want to be. That's where I have to be. That's where I need to be. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments that he offered, that he uttered. He is the Lord our God. And then 8 through 11, he talks about all of his covenants. Look at his covenants. Look at his promises. Look at his agreements. Look what God has done for his people. And remember them. Remember those covenants. Do you remember the covenant that God made with Abram? He said, hey, Abram, I'm calling you out away from your family, and I'm going to send you to a what? A foreign land. And in you, what did he say was going to happen? All the what? All people will be blessed. Through your line, I'm going to bring blessing to the entire world. That's God's promise. That's God's covenant. I'm going to bless the world through you. I'm going to let you be a part of my blessing to the world. What an amazing covenant, right? Church, we need to hear God look at us as his children, as his believers, as those connected to that line of Abraham, of that promise, and understand that God looks at us and he says, hey, I am making you a part of blessing, part of my creation. Now think about the ways in which you can bless God's creation, right? I mean, there's some obvious ones. I can provide for my family. I can take care of my family. I can look after my family. But then we start to go, okay, well, where else can his blessings flow? All right, well, now I'm looking out for my neighbors. Now I'm looking out for my neighbors. And then if you're not completely worn out, why stop at neighbors? I can bless my enemies. I can really let the love of God flow from my life, and I will bless my enemies. So really everybody's on the menu. I'm just going to be a blessing to everybody. I'm going to realize and take the love and mercy and grace that God has poured out on me, and I'm going to let that blessing flow throughout my life to everyone that I encounter. I'm going to say good things. I'm going to seek him with all my energy, and I'm going to bless everyone that I come in contact. Do you know what God has done? Can I show you today? Can I show you what God has done today? That's recognizing this all-encompassing power and glory of Elohim. The Lord our God, the Lord our God. He created all things, and all things are his. All right, I'm going to finish up with one last one, one quick one. This one is a short one. Psalm 82. This one is, I'm throwing it out there, okay? I'm ending him with a wild card. The lesson's practically over, but I want you to see this one. I want you to see this one. Because this one's a very interesting one. This one's a strange one. Psalm 82. Now this is, what do you call those, a teaser, A cliffhanger? Yeah, kinda. I mean, I'm not digging into this next week. This is one of those that I'm gonna get into in the future, okay? I'm just gonna give you a taste. A trailer? Yes, coming soon to a lesson near you. Yes, I like that. I like that. This is a trailer, Psalm 82. All right. Psalm 82, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Now, the reason why I read this, because this gives us a better understanding of the word Elohim, universal. Okay? Because Elohim is bigger than just whatever you and I in our mind envision as God up there. All right. That is Elohim. That is the Lord our God. But Elohim, the word itself, is bigger than that. And it includes so much more than that. So this isn't a 4-week lesson. I just wanted you to see a piece of that. Psalm 82. God has taken his place in the divine council in the midst of the gods. He holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and to the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. All right, now this is a really interesting one. And again, bigger than the scope of what I'm going to get into this morning. But I just wanted you to see that in verse 1, God, the first word, Elohim, has taken his place in the divine council in the midst of the Elohim. Elohim has a meeting with Elohim. Exactly. That's the word we're dealing with, okay? This one is different from all the other names of God that we've been looking at in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew. So what this gives you, this idea of how Elohim is used not just for mine and yours and Israel's, we got that God right there. Elohim is used in a more general sense, in a more generic sense of these spiritual beings that are in the presence of God. Okay? So it's more than just what we think of as God. Now, this Elohim here in verse 1, the first one's singular and the second one's plural. Same word, singular and plural forms. Singular and plural forms. So, again, I like teaser. There's your teaser. I hope to get into this because it's an interesting idea. And I think it brings a lot to the table. All right. So there you go. Hopefully some positive, encouraging things, and then just a little taste of the unknown to make you go, what? Because hopefully if you're scratching your head, you'll get in the Word and try to figure some of this stuff out. It's good for you. It's good for you. All right. There it is. Elohim, the Lord our God, Yahweh Elohim, the Lord is one. Love God with everything you got. He's done so much. He is so much. He's given so much. And the only proper response for those that understand God is to give God us, to give God ourselves, to respond and kind because he's given us everything, everything that we have. So this morning, if you need to respond, if you need to receive everything that God has to give through his son, Jesus Christ, we invite you to come and accept that.